Well, Robert Shibley, welcome to our studios and congratulations on your wonderful award. That's really terrific.
Thank you very much.
You are one of three selected for this AIA 2014 Thomas Jefferson Award. Excellence in architectural advocacy and achievement is what they have stated. Tell us about it, first of all. Were you surprised that you received it for your work?
In so many ways, an award like this is not really about me. It's about 100,000 people who've made Buffalo a better place to be over 40 years.
And you, of course, have been at the School of Architecture and Planning since about 82?
That's correct, yes.
What is it like to bring your expertise into our community? You've certainly teamed with Buffalo to help bring it to where we are today. We now see this great renaissance.
Well, you know, it's such a joy to think about this as team sport, the way this community has embraced its future. And really, it's a tortoise and hare story, but it's slow and steady wins the race. And the kind of levels of cooperation at from the governor to three mayoral administrations and the rise of our community-based organizations, it's just a joy to watch it happen and be part of it.
But there was a time where it was not that cooperative, and you watched a lot of that. What were some of your biggest frustrations during those times?
Well, I guess I don't have the personality to be terribly frustrated. I think the notion is that it takes a long time to recover from the kind of structural economy failure that we experienced, and that what I think I've seen is a lot of people of goodwill just pounding very, very hard at the issue, making it better and better and better.
What would you say was that tipping point for change that we're seeing now with the cranes downtown and all the energy put into the canal side?
I'm not a big believer in tipping points. I think there is an element of that for sure, that when things suddenly seem so much better. But it doesn't tell the truth about what it took to get to that point. And so for me, the kind of courage to know how bad things are still in many areas and what else needs to be done is like, don't start celebrating victory until you've taken care of some of the serious issues of social justice in our community.
Are you believing that we are now on the right track?
Oh, there's no question that we have had 44 months of month-over-month job growth in this region. I don't think we've seen that kind of progress since World War II. So the cranes in the air, certainly the volume of capital construction, and not just that it's building, but that it's creating new jobs and new opportunities for our citizens. And it's happening where it needs to happen in really strategic areas of our city. All of that seems to me to forecast a bright future for Buffalo.
And when you talk about that social justice, I assume you mean the right kind of jobs for folks that are in so need, and we're in such a high poverty city.
Yeah, there's so much done and so much more that needs to be done. I think about how we get people to the jobs and services they need in terms of transportation. I think about a whole host of kind of inequities across our community that are still very much in the forefront of the work ahead. So I get nervous about tipping point. It's almost like, okay, kick back, relax, we've done it. It's just so much more to do. But I think we should all be celebrating where we are now.
What about our neighborhoods and the different divides of what we have in the city?
Well, I think that's precisely the point. That's why I get nervous about tipping point text, because I don't think they're experiencing it in their daily life. But I will say that the social infrastructure that supports our growth here is fantastic. We've watched the rise of organizations like the Riverkeeper or the Western New York Environmental Alliance, or you take a look at what's going on in through Voice Buffalo and the aggressive actions of people across this community. And they're all smarter and better and smarter and better and making better places for themselves.
And when you talk about the waterfront, we're going through this rust to blue transformation with the restoration along the Buffalo River.
It's an interesting kind of sidebar, but Buffalo wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Niagara Falls and the cataract. that created the demand for transshipment here. And ever since then, we've been tightly tied. We grew up from the water, and we need to respect and build on it. So watching what's happened now at the Inner Harbor is a great step. Yeah, I'm even more excited about the kind of evolution of the Buffalo River, what we're seeing in the Niagara Greenway. The family of those things get us to a position where from lake to lake, we live in a water community.
Talk about that access, too, and the importance of it for the future generations.
Well, we've done probably 1,000 community meetings, and in just about every one, sooner or later, you get around to one of the primary sort of desires of our citizens is to get access to the water. There's something sort of primal about it. The settlement patterns when we started grew up perpendicular to the water. Those create a kind of urban grid, which then got rationalized in these radials. Those radials bring us to downtown and to the water. It's an extraordinary city, and making sure that continues to function that way makes us a legible, Olmsted said, makes us the best planned city in America.
And it's giving us that economic development that we've been dreaming about.
Absolutely, and that we see now, I think, increasingly improving. So the Regional Economic Development Council structure that the governor has brought to us, I think, has put a premium on tourism as one aspect of it, and particularly in the context of the Buffalo Billion. And we see that focus on the water related to that.
I want to talk a little bit about students at UB and what their future is ahead. As architects, the industry has changed. You've certainly watched change over the last few decades in your industry. Some has changed for the firms that are out there. What do these students, what do they see ahead of them, and what's good about it for them in the industry?
Architecture has become understood, I think, much more profoundly as part of a much larger process of city making, city building. It establishes some of the physical conditions necessary to live life well. As a result, the students that we work with, our faculty, are incredibly engaged in this whole concept of what it means to live life well. What is the cultural production that comes from the architecture we make? That's part of the formula for owning where we are, taking care of where we are in every dimension. And that kind of caregiving celebrated through the art and architecture that we produce is kind of what binds a community together.
What do you see in their eyes? They have the technology now, the software that they're using in their work that perhaps architects from other generations from the past did not have, and all the trends of digital media.
That's a great, great question. What I think we see is enormous excitement. We have a team of students that are so thoughtful and so careful that they imagine digital manufacturing to be on the front edge of architectural production in the future. They want a machine that helps them understand and learn that better. So instead of waiting for somebody to buy them a very expensive machine, they build their own. And that's the kind of culture and spirit and excitement and kind of I will not be defeated kind of approach to life that they take on at our school.
So you don't see it hurting the creativity at all?
On the contrary, it's a new media that adds new life, and it brings us as a profession closer to the act of construction. And I think there's a kind of an immediacy, a kind of hands-on kind of, I'll call it grit, that brings that kind of thinking and working and the community we live in here in Buffalo, where we used to make all that steel. I mean, we're very much at home in our relationship to this community at the School of Architecture and Planning.
What about jobs? Are they finding jobs?
Well, the jobs follow the economy. So when the economy's down, the jobs are down. When the economy's up, the jobs are up. That's been the history of architecture for a very long time. I would say that architects are getting smarter about understanding a broader range of contributions they can make. The best time to do urban design and planning is when things slow down in capital construction, because then you're ready for it when the upturn happens. And we're seeing the fruits of that here now.
When you look at the landscape of the city and all the future that's happening, as we talked about, the construction, are you pleased with the blending of the old and the new and preserving that that look and that heritage that we have here.
I'm glad you brought that up. I think just to take it back to the school for a moment, we've just opened a new Master of Science in Architecture and devoted to preservation and urban design. So you're constantly looking at the relationship between the context you're in, the existing stock of buildings, which we all know in Buffalo is fantastic, and the idea that you have to build new for new generations and under new technologies and new support systems. So a larger floor plate, a different kind of floor to ceiling height and loading is necessary for the new buildings to support the kind of office tenants and work environments of the future, even as we restore and rebuild and reuse the existing stock of buildings.
Of course, a big accomplishment. The university has brought the medical school into downtown Buffalo. The construction is underway. How do you feel? It has to be an exciting moment in time.
Yahoo! Again, a huge credit to so many people who made that possible. But when you think about in the late 90s, imagining that the medical campus is actually part of downtown was part of a kind of reframing of what constitutes downtown. Developing the plan for the medical campus, really not imagining a much larger footprint for the university in terms of its deans and faculty, but certainly in research and relationship to healthcare. And then over time, watching that flower out to become a dream of a full academic health center, fully integrated with our medical staff. It's been a great progression that just a huge number of people have made possible.
Can you tell us anything that's next that you're working on?
Well, you know, you got to have a lot of excitement about the way we've set the table for the changes in the economy here and the improvements. So the combination of the investments that come through the disciplined thinking of the Regional Economic Development Council and the way they've narrowed their focus with the Buffalo Billion and the role the governor has played in that has established a capacity to build new jobs, new economy, and to simultaneously and in parallel watch the grassroots community build towards a more socially just and viable place. All of that seems to me to be, you used the word tipping point before, maybe there's a tipping point in our future, or at least a point where we can feel all the dimensions of a good way of living in Buffalo are being addressed fully.
When do you receive your award?
The award is going to be given in June in Chicago at the Convention of the American Institute of Architects. It's an opportunity through the architectural media to speak to 88,000 architects about the success that we're experiencing in Buffalo and to present Buffalo and the region as a model for city making and city regeneration. It's an opportunity we don't get that often with that kind of audience. So I think it's a wonderful thing for us.
When you speak to other architects around the country, what do they think? What is their impression of Buffalo that perhaps aren't as well informed about our city?
Most of us, certainly at my age, studied the major buildings in Buffalo, the Richardson Center, the Martin legacy here in terms of the Darwin Martin House and Frank Lloyd Wright. Louis Sullivan's best high-rise, from my perspective, is here. These are the monuments of architecture approach to teaching that we all learn from. So most architects know Buffalo, but they don't really have a deep knowledge of its potential. They don't understand the sort of second-tier fabric of E.B. Green and the way our neighborhoods are laid out. And again, this kind of celebration of capacity here is a way for us to tell this story more broadly.
Well, congratulations once again on your AIA Thomas Jefferson Award. Dean Shibley, thank you so much for coming into our studios and talking to us.
It's my pleasure, Eileen. Thank you.